Day. It's January the 9th, 2024. This is the Fakeologist Show. Do this show Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Monday is the All Shots Clot Show. And we did that yesterday. It was a pretty good show. We had a Wake Cupcake calling from Southwest Florida. And she gave us a long laundry list of people that she says are around her being hurt or injured or killed even by the vaccine. And that's on allshotsclot.com. It's a separate podcast. I know a lot of people don't like to tie it up with Fakeology, but we can fill an hour talking about vaccines and clots and medical misadventures all day long. So we do it for about an hour. It was a pretty good show, but it won't show up on the main blog. So you got to go to the sub blog, and it's also posted in its entirety on FakeoTube. So we're going to do that for a few Mondays, see what happens. Now we are doing the Lynn or Tell show. It's Tuesday. Lynn is always here. If you were here earlier or you're listening to the podcast, you listened to half an hour worth of tech talk. So I'll let everyone know that the show doesn't start on the podcast until about 30 minutes in. And we also have Jim Rizzoli on the line because we were talking a lot last week about Judy Wood, and Lynn or Tell is a longtime 9/11 researcher. She has an encyclopedia type mind, and she can remember all this stuff between Judy Wood and Fetzer. So I thought Jim might want to talk to her a bit, and I'll just sit back and listen in. So welcome everybody to the show. Hello, Lynn.
Hey.
And hello, Jim. Jim's on the phone line. Jim, hey, Jim. Say hi to Lynn.
Hi, Lynn.
Hey, Jim.
Lynn, do you follow Jim's work? Jim has a BitChute channel. It's called Jim Rizzoli.
Yeah, I've watched a lot of his material. Most of it's focused on the history of World War II.
Yeah.
And the period since then. So it's more of a big picture, overall, shall we say, meta-historical view of things, which is what I consider important, not the woo-woo of a speculative sci-fi exotic weapons that might or might not have been used, which really wouldn't matter anyway, because what difference does it make how they took down the towers, really? The important thing was to use the phrase controlled demolition. But as long as you're saying dustification, or you're implying, now remember, Judy Wood never said directed, this is what's so dishonest about her. I've never heard her actually use the phrase directed energy weapons. Every time somebody brings it up, she'll say, well, I didn't say that. I'm just presenting evidence. Of course, her evidence is all of the photographic and video material that was generously supplied to us by the media networks. So we can sure count on that. So now I don't consider a speculative woo-woo about, well, did they paint the girders with thermite? Or was it thermobarics? Or Dmitry Kolosev's nuclear reactors in the basement of the WTC? Like, hey, guys, let's keep our eye on the ball. We don't know what they used to take down the towers. None of us are experts in controlled demolition. But maybe it wasn't as big a deal as everybody thought it was. Because when you look at that picture of the hollow towers, you could see what it was that got demolished.
Okay, let's let Jim talk. Jim, do you want to
bring up that? Would you bring up that screen share, that picture?
Oh yeah, I'll bring up your screen share, but I want to get Jim in. Jim, just talk if you want to start talking, and Lynn will back down off the mic.
Well, there's nothing I disagree with him on.
Okay, Lynn is a her. So,
I mean, sorry, I can't hear that well here.
No, it's okay.
All right. Yeah, so I haven't seen anything that I disagree with her on.
Okay, good. That's fine. Now, Lynn, why don't you can you give a little history of Judy Wood? Because one thing that Jim said last time is he thought that Jim was very rude to her, threatening to Judy Wood. So can you just give us the background of where she came from vis-a-vis Fetzer?
Well, in my view, it was Jim Fetzer who put Judy Wood on the map. In the context of the truth movement, the 9/11 truth movement, at that moment in 2006 and 2007, when Jim brought her onto his show, that was like her debut. And then from there, not too long after, she got the invitation to speak before the National Press Club. The only reason why I was interested is because, not because I was following Judy Wood, I was following Morgan Reynolds. Now, okay. I hope we don't have to go back and play that clip of Morgan Reynolds on Fox.
Jim, do you know Morgan Reynolds?
No.
Okay. Jim is just fresh into the 9/11, and I'm having a good time watching Jim look into it, because it's almost like me starting over again, seeing it through different sets of eyes. So Jim has been talking about this whole topic for about a week and a half, and I think a lot of your regular listeners are tired of you talking about it, Jim.
Jim's perspective might be, correct me if I'm wrong, because I can't speak for Jim, but I'm sort of reading into his view,
yeah,
his worldview, Weltanschauung, that for, say, Generation Z, Generation X, well, for Generation Z, certainly, for many, many people now,
yeah,
9/11 is so far behind us that it isn't really going to evoke that kind of emotional interest that a subject like the Holocaust would. I know that sounds kind of strange, because the Holocaust is like an 80-year-old event, allegedly, World War II. But I think what Jim is raising there is the idea that, I mean, consider what's happening in Israel and Gaza right now, and consider the way the population here in the United States is being divided between, you know, are you pro-Palestinian, are you pro-Israeli, all that. And that makes the Holocaust relevant. The only reason why I dragged 9/11 up is because when they staged this event in Gaza on October 7th, the first thing out of their mouths was, this is Israel's 9/11. So when people say, well, why are you into 9/11? Well, I'm not the one bringing up 9/11. They're the ones who are saying, this is Israel's 9/11. So what is that telling us? If 9/11 was an inside job and a hoax, then it's pretty obvious that the October 7th event is likewise a psyop and a hoax, right?
Jim, what do you think?
I agree. I have no problem with any of that. But, you know, you have to understand why I'm dealing with Judy Wood.
Okay.
That's all I'm dealing with her on, is she has a perfect right to say what she wants to say, whether she's right or wrong. And the way that she's treated, that's my problem. Because she's treated exactly the same way that people like myself that deal with the Holocaust topic are treated too. All right? You let everybody give their spiel, and then you give your spiel, and you move on. But all this ad hominem attacks and calling her this and calling her that, I can't stand it, because that's been my life, how people deal with me.
So, yeah, I get it.
Jim thinks Judy has been treated unfairly, right?
That's right. See, let me just explain this so you know where I'm coming from.
Even though Jesse Ventura has promoted her book. Actually, there are other celebrities that are really disreputable characters like Jesse Ventura. I really regard him as a really slimy, sleazy character. But
I know, but just relax, will you? Let's just deal with this, okay? Everybody has an opinion. But see, what happens is everybody starts fighting each other on the opinion. Now, I do agree with you on what you were saying. Absolutely. What they're doing with this whole topic is it's just a waste of time, what they're doing with it. So if you got the facts and you can show somebody if they're wrong, then that's what you have to do. I hate the fighting and the people arguing, and this person's no good and that person's no good. And if he doesn't believe in flat earth, he's no good. And if he doesn't believe in Christian identity, or she, whatever, they're no good. Look, everybody has their say. But if you're going to say something, you better back it up. That's all I say. Yeah. Just back it up with whatever you got. All right.
Yeah. My objection to Judy Wood is what Sherlock Holmes would call the dogs that didn't bark. That is to say, the most important aspect of 9/11, which Judy Wood to this day has never said anything about. And that's why I'm very suspicious of why they attached Judy Wood to Morgan Reynolds, because they both are really saying very, very different things. But somehow or other, they were so that if you were into Morgan Reynolds' exposure of the media fakery of 9/11, which he put at the center of everything, he said that the networks broadcast a cartoon. And I would have expected Judy Wood to back him up on that, but she never said a word. So instead, what happened was, and I watched all this go on at the National Press Club and afterwards, if someone would be tempted to look at what Morgan Reynolds was saying about the TV fakery, they would immediately be distracted and diverted away from it into Judy Wood's exotic weapons, which can't explain this movie-like destruction of the towers. I really think Judy Wood was set up to exploit the predictive programming of two movies, Towering Inferno, which came out in the 70s, I guess, right? And Independence Day, which came out in the 90s. In both movies, you see these towering, and you know, you see these gigantic skyscrapers destroyed. And the idea is given to you that it's some almost supernatural event. Independence Day definitely says that, right? It's a supernatural event. Aliens have done it. Of course, that was the next step from directed energy weapons and space beams, was to say that it was alien craft that destroyed the towers. It was a pretty easy leap for people to make from dustification to directed energy weapons to space beams, because remember, it was Fetzer who first said, Judy, do you think maybe these special weapons, these beams, were directed by satellite? And of course, Judy responded, well, that's very possible, Jim, but I can't say. I could only imply it, so people will spend lots of time looking into it and really getting into this mysterious zero-point energy technology. And then from there, Judy Wood went on to ride her hobby horse. You know, I've discussed the role of the hobby horse. With the case of Mike Rupert, his hobby horse was peak oil. This is a guy who got a chance to address the Commonwealth Club of San Francisco on 9/11, on about, you know, talking about 9/11 as an inside job, because his book Crossing the Rubicon went into that. And instead, Mike Rupert used that precious opportunity to address the Commonwealth Club of San Francisco to talk all about peak oil, because 9/11 was nothing but a hook for him to jump on his hobby horse and ride his hobby horse of peak oil. And that's how I viewed the special exotic weapons area of 9/11. When Judy Wood hooked up with John Hutchinson, who really hasn't proven anything, and he's kind of a questionable character also.
Lynn, sorry to interrupt, do you think Judy is being victimized and she's not getting a fair shake?
Well, as is Jesse Ventura victimizing her? Because every time I run into Jesse Ventura, he's holding up her book and pumping her book. That's a lot of promotion. He's not the only one. There are others who are really pushing Judy Wood's book. That's a big thing. But if Jesse Ventura, which, by the way, which is not his real name.
Let Jim talk. Okay, let Jim. Go, Jim.
Lynn, I don't know you. I have never met you. Being on the show with you, I'm almost wanting to leave. No offense. Okay, no offense, because a dialogue is supposed to be between two people. I'm really not getting anything to say here. I'm not even sure why I'm on the show today.
Well, I just wanted you to talk about Judy Wood with Lynn. That's all.
Lynn, you're a very passionate woman. Let me just say, okay? But you have to let other people have a chance to talk. Okay, I've done many, many, many interviews, and I've been on many interviews, but you're pushing me out of the interview. I'm just telling you, okay?
Sorry,
I'm two clicks away of just hanging up. I hate to say this, because you're probably a very passionate, nice person, but and you know, I do a lot of talking all day, so I talk a lot. So maybe you don't talk to a lot of people all day, and when you get on a show, you like to talk. So I understand that. All right. Can I talk now?
You keep going, Jim. Let's get a dialogue going.
Okay. My whole point with Judy Wood, she's got some questions that even you guys have never answered to me. And that's all I say. Every time I do my topics, I'm the devil's advocate 100% because I do it with the Holocaust topic. I do it with Flat Earth. I do it with Christian identity. I do it with everybody.
Yeah.
I'm the guy that's, wait a minute here, I don't agree with this, and here's why I don't agree with it. Now, the biggest thing I don't agree with, well, it's not that I don't agree with you guys, because I've, look at, you've got me to look into the buildings being empty. That was a big thing. I would never even have gone that direction. I'm happy about that. All right, so that, you made me see that. But I really have a problem with the burnt cars.
Okay. Lynn, do you want to address the, do you want Lynn to address the burnt cars?
Explain to me how the cars got burnt. All those cars are burnt, even on FDR Drive. How did those cars get burnt like they did with no engines in them, burnt completely just like the Lahaina? How do they get burnt?
Well, Clues Forbes made a big joke about it and said that basically those cars were towed there and left there in order to propagate this woo-woo narrative. That is exactly the explanation that Simon Shack and Clues Forbes.
All right, hold on.
More than that, we don't know that the cars were really there. We're being shown videos and photos, and you're assuming that the debris that you see is what was really there. But no,
That's a good point. I do agree with you.
Authenticated before it can be admitted in court.
Okay, hold on. I can understand. See, again, you presented something, that's what they say. The cars were towed there. Maybe
the pictures are fake.
Yeah.
Hold on. If those cars were towed there, there has to be video of them doing that. They got video all over Manhattan.
Who's got video, Jim? Jim, whose video? Whose pictures? Whose video? Your neighbor? Your neighbor was there taking video?
Somebody we know and trust was there taking video? Lynn, hold on. You're really confusing my brain, because I'm trying to process what you say, and I'm trying to come back with an answer. So please don't interrupt me what I'm thinking. Okay. So here's the deal: the cars were towed there, right? Is that what you believe?
No, I'm saying that one way or another, that stuff was planted precisely so we could be having this argument. Instead of saying, we don't know how they demolished the things, but we know it was a controlled demolition. And we know that the buildings weren't completely occupied. If you look at that Howard Towers picture.
Time out, Lynn. Listen, again, just listen to me.
Media fakery. Jim, it's called media fakery. That's what we're about, right?
Okay, Lynn, I understand it, but let's just... Don't go into another topic. I'm talking about cars. I'm not talking about...
Right, the cars are media fakery, period, one way or another, whether they staged them by towing them there or whether they just produced fake photographs of toasted cars.
Judy Wood could put them in her book. Lynn, I get it. Okay, let me talk now, okay? So you think the pictures are fakery?
I think that everything we were presented about 9/11 was prepared in advance in a studio. And before you could present any picture in Judy Wood's book in court, you'd have to have it sourced, vetted, authenticated, and the judge would have to determine whether it was admissible as evidence. That means you'd have to have whoever took the picture testify in court, yes, I took the picture. Yes, it is authentic.
That alone
would be a great thing if we could do that.
All right, I agree with you 100%. Okay, so there you go. We tackle that issue. And again, if you're gonna say this picture represents this, how did this happen? Then you have to kind of back up where the picture came from, who took the picture. Yeah, I agree with you there. Okay, we're on the same wavelength on that.
Well, the dogs that didn't bark is what bothers me the most about Judy Wood. I could have looked past Judy Wood's taking advantage of all the speculative sci-fi exotic weapons woo-woo that she generated if she had said something about the TV fakery. She does have a degree in mechanical engineering. She understands material science. She would have been able to say, as Morgan Reynolds did outright, that the Fairbanks, Evan Fairbanks video showed on ABC News was a cartoon, that the Michael Hezarkhani clip, I'm referring to clips that allegedly show Flight 175 smoothly disappearing into the steel rebar concrete facade of the South Tower. And Judy Wood has never said or published a word about that. And so I'm down with Sherlock Holmes on this. She's not barking about that. So something's wrong. There's something wrong with this picture. Why is Judy Wood, with her academic background, not every bit as vocal about the physical impossibility of those cartoon clips that were broadcast on TV news that brainwashed so many people, traumatized so many people? It really is the iconic image of 9/11 for most people. Planes crashing into the huge, magnificent South Tower, which it turns out was probably 70 to 80% empty anyway. It's that image that traumatized people, that made 9/11. And every time you run into people, it's always, oh, but I saw the plane. I saw the plane. Yeah, you saw it on TV. But where is Judy Wood? Where are the dogs that were supposed to bark when a stranger, I think the name of the Sherlock Holmes story is The Adventure of Silver Blaze. And it had to do with the theft of a prize horse. And the dogs didn't bark. And so Sherlock Holmes reasonably comes to the conclusion that the reason why the dogs didn't bark is because they were familiar with the thief. They knew who the thief was. So there was no reason for them to sound an alarm. And that's what I'm suggesting about Judy Wood. She's clearly, and not just Judy Wood, not just Judy Wood. Anybody with a scientific background who is not calling out the ridiculously stupid and insulting TV fakery, the images that were broadcast on TV news of Flight 175, anybody who's not calling that out as fake is one of those dogs who's not barking because they're collaborating with the big lie. But just the fact that they're refusing to confront what I consider the most important aspect of 9/11, as a Clues Forum would say, the key central role of the mass media in propagating the narrative, the PSYOP, and all the tools that you use to do that, whether it's pictures and videos of toasted cars or all these videos we've seen of the towers coming down, just like in a Independence Day in that movie.
Let Jim get a word in there. Jim, you got anything?
Lynn knows her stuff.
She does. Yeah,
I like her. I like her. Okay, because she's telling 100% truth. I cannot say she's wrong. Okay, so
I'm good. Okay.
I mean, I'm sitting here listening to her. Yeah. Okay. I agree. All right. There we go.
Well, I was hoping you were going to argue and make more, for a more interesting show. But if you're agreeing, good. As long as you're happy, you're getting your chance to speak.
Well, no, I mean, how can Judy Wood, she's not getting into the plane. She's not getting into this. She's not getting into that. There's a lot of things she's not getting into. I understand that.
Yeah.
Okay. But you know what she presents to me is no better than what everybody else is presenting. Their thermite controlled demolition. I think I don't agree with that either. Okay, here's what I believe. Here's my beliefs about 9/11. Whatever was used was not your normal demolition process in that building. It was way beyond our grade level, our education level, whatever. Whatever it was above us all. Now, I can't answer it, but it does infuriate me when I see people. They're still clinging to this controlled demolition nonsense when the building dissolved. Okay, do we agree with that, Lynn? Do you agree the building dissolved?
Oh, Lynn, your mic isn't working. What happened, Lynn? You hit your mute button or something?
The most instructive thing
that
we can do about 9/11 with respect to the controlled demolitions is two things. One, we can say it was a controlled demolition. If people say, how? Well, you know, I'm not a controlled demolition expert. What?
Right, but Lynn, I asked you a question.
What fakeologist.com has done, by interviewing Mark Loiseau. How is his name pronounced?
I never interviewed him, but I played the interview. Right. Mark Loiseau. Right. Mark right. Loiseau. I think it means that, bird in French.
Okay. That takes us a lot further along into the idea that there was nothing special about this demolition. There was nothing special about... Was there anything special about WTC-7's demolition? Was there anything special about WTC-7's?
Okay, then let Jim answer. Let Jim answer. Go ahead, Jim.
All right. Here's the deal. I know you're doing your best here to control this, but when an interviewer interviews people, you got to let one person speak and answer the question if there's a question of another person.
Yeah.
Now, I asked Lynn a question. Lynn, did those buildings, did the World Trade Center buildings, did they dissolve in front of you or not?
I saw debris in the next day. When they showed the pictures, what I saw was the debris and the rubble you would normally see from a controlled demolition. I don't know how advanced the technology is. It may be that whatever technology controlled demolition incorporated used, I'm now gonna make a strong hypothesis.
Lynn, you're good.
Do we have time to become experts in controlled demolition?
See, he wants to know, do you believe the dissolving building? Yeah, Lynn,
I don't believe in magically dissolving buildings. I believe in controlled demolitions because I've seen plenty of those.
Okay. So, I want you to answer this question.
Magically dissolving buildings are for movies like Independence Day. Understand?
Oh my goodness. Okay, Lynn, please, just settle
down. Do you understand what I'm getting at?
Hold on, I'll mute Lynn so you can ask her now. Go ahead. Okay. Lynn, I had to mute you, Lynn, so Jim could talk.
Well, again, this is, it's not a debate. This is one-sided. This is one-sided here, what's going on here. I'm trying to get to an answer. She didn't give me an answer. I'm looking at the building.
Yes.
That building is not coming down in your typical demolition that I've watched buildings come down in. When they come down, they get destroyed from the bottom, and it all falls down into a
footprint.
Footprint.
Yeah.
All right. That building had hardly any rubble down there, maybe two or three stories high. I'm watching it dissolving. It's dissolving in front of my eyes. As you watch that building, is that building coming down? Is it dissolving or is it coming down like your typical controlled demolition pancaking down? That's my question.
Okay, go ahead, Lynn. Answer the question.
Well, the images that you see on the videos we were presented by your very generous, benign, controlled corporate media definitely show what looks like a building dissolving. But on the other hand, there are other images I've looked at, like Rick Siegel's 9/11 eyewitness, which was taken from across the river in Hoboken. And those look like classic controlled demolitions, very ordinary controlled demolitions. Right. I want to call your attention to the Hollow Towers. Can we bring up the Hollow Towers?
I can't see any of this. So how would I be able to see this?
Well, yeah, you would have to go to fakotube.com. on your computer just to see the video. Cause it's too bad you couldn't get into the studio tonight. I don't know what was going on with your mic. You could hear me, but we couldn't hear you.
It just wasn't any big deal. This demolition we're making. Yeah. I guess it's impressive. I've seen the MGM Grand when they took that down in Las Vegas. I mean, controlled demolitions are dazzling. And yes, some of the videos, there's one particular video that I think Napoleon Wilson posted it in the forum. It's the classic one where you see this dust, this gigantic cloud of dust coming out of the background, and people are running in terror. And it's a complete digital fabrication. It's been deconstructed at Clues Forum. They've shown the flaws in it to prove it's a digital fabrication. But the impression you get from it is of a dissolving building. Because that's the impression they want you to have. They want you to spend the rest of your life figuring out how they magically, supernaturally, or maybe with exotic, mysterious technology, did something to these buildings that we just can't imagine until you look at the pictures of the Hollow Towers. and you realize that the buildings were what I call a Potemkin village. You know what a Potemkin village is? Are you familiar with that? Is everybody familiar with the Potemkin village? Potemkin was a prime minister to Catherine the Great. And what he did to convince her that her policies were leading to prosperity in the countryside was she would ride her carriage along the roads, and he would put up these like Hollywood backdrops, you know, facades, flat scenes that made it look like there was a prosperous, thriving village off in the distance. He might even have some actors running around to do that. And that's the idea of a Potemkin village. It's basically a fake facade that you put up, and you make more of it than is really there. The Hallowed Towers, and I got to thank Phil Jahan and Larry McWilliams, I think, were the ones who brought this to my attention over Let's Roll 9/11.
Right.
That 70-80% of these towers were basically empty. And you can see that from the sun shining through these hollow towers. So in a sense, the towers were built to be a Potemkin village. Of course, after 1993, which was the FBI staged truck bombing, there wasn't nobody that wanted to just maintain an office in the world. They were gone. I don't think there was anybody left in those places after that. Would you have kept an office in the World Trade Center after the 1993 WTC truck bomb? I don't think so. So it's this whole thing about exaggeration is a part of it. Displacement is a major part of it, because they don't want you saying, hey, this was a controlled demolition. I don't know how they did it, but who cares? They're lying. That's what's important. They're lying, and the media's lying to us. That's what's important. But no, someone wants to get into the idea of, well, how did they bring it down? It must have been impossible. It's so mysterious, you know. It reminds me of the caravan of death in Iraq. Because we were told that these directed energy weapons were being used in Iraq. Well, they're classified. The technologies are classified, whether they've got them or not. Who knows? I guess they do. But that wasn't what was important to me about our occupation, our invasion and occupation of Iraq. What was important to me was the way they lied. They lied our way into it. Not what kind of weapons they were using. Really? Would it have made any difference if I knew they were using directed energy weapons in Iraq? Either time, when they went in 1991. After the Kuwaiti ambassador's daughter claimed that babies were being dumped out.
Hey, Lynn, let's see if Jim has another question, because I don't want to waste his time.
Well, no, listen, you're making, you know, perfectly good sense. I can't disagree with what you're saying. But, the thing with the 9/11 is that you have to really admit then that there was some sort of, you're going to call it controlled demolition, and however you want to explain it, I don't buy this thermite stuff. I don't believe. I think whatever was used here was beyond any capacity of us. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's all. I these people keep hitting me with the thermite and the this and that, and I don't buy it at all. But anyway, that's why maybe you can understand why I never got into 9/11, because it's just a rabbit hole that never ends. See, I deal with my topic, the Holocaust. It's very simple. I deal with topics that there's just a yes or no answer. It's simple, right? I just say, well, you know, all these people said this happened and it didn't happen. No, it didn't. You're telling me all these people died in gas chambers. Well, there were no gas chambers. Well, how could all these people die? They said everybody said there were gas chambers and people were dying. Well, no, there were no gas chambers. So I guess we just start from there that obviously if there were no gas chambers to kill people, then all those people's stories are lies. Simple. It's there it is. No gas chambers. People are lying. Why would they lie? Well, that's your next question, right?
Yeah, I've myself looked at the research quite a few years back of Ernst Zundel. And Fred Leuchter, is it Leuchter?
Leuchter, yeah, Leuchter.
Leuchter, yeah.
Leuchter.
Right, and also David Cole, David Cole went over there, I guess, to Auschwitz to check this, and Treblinka and a couple other places, Sobibor. And yeah, you're right. There's there's like zero evidence for a lot of what we're told. So yeah, there's no doubt about that. And I guess that's right. You know, it's a shame because what happened with 9/11 and you, Jim, is that the fact that the way in which you related to 9/11 was in a way mediated through the Judy Wood thing kind of turned you off to it. It didn't it? Because what you saw was all these people arguing about how the buildings were demolished. And no one should really, first of all, no one should be overly impressed by it. It's like, I would hear all these people say, wow, they dustified those buildings. No, it's just like a Las Vegas controlled demolition. The buildings were mostly empty.
Let me ask Jim a yes or no question from Armin Rigg, who's listening in the Discord. Jim, yes or no, do you think the imagery that you are evaluating on 9/11 is reliable or unreliable?
That's unreliable. The question.
So if it's unreliable, then we can't really trust or make any conclusions from what we're looking at. Do you agree with
Absolutely.
That?
Yeah, you can't come to any conclusion about any of it.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, that's simple as that. I mean, that's why I don't deal with it. But you know, I like to deal with simple things that are just yes and no answers, and that's why I deal with my topic and the 9/11 topic. I just kind of said, look, there's other people there. Let them deal with that. And spin their wheels on that one, you know.
Now, Jim, do you think people died on 9/11 as CNN has listed them as 3,000 people?
Well, that's the problem because you know when I you know first started talking to you guys and you brought that up,
yeah.
I never thought of that. I said, holy shit, this is very important. I mean, and I do believe, like Lynn said. Because I was just watching a video about the 93 explosion in that building. Who the hell would go back into that building after that? And so now I'm saying
I don't think they did. Yeah.
Well, this is what I'm the conclusion I've come to is what happened here from 93.
Yeah.
This is when they started emptying that building out or not
exactly.
Putting people in it.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden they did fill a couple floors. I'm not saying they didn't, you know, there was, but I do have a question here. Maybe you guys can help me out because I was watching one of the videos on this.
Okay.
You remember the picture? The picture, it shows the people all at the window way up top. They're all standing at the window.
You mean
it showed them, you know, with the
jumpers? You mean the jumpers?
The ones getting ready to jump?
You mean Edna Cintrone waving her jacket?
Well, whatever. There was a whole bunch of people standing at the windows waving. Yeah, they're probably waving jackets or whatever. But you could see people there. Okay, now, to me, it looked like
mannequins.
People there.
Mannequins. Gelatin B.
Okay, so you believe those weren't real people?
Well, from what I know about the art student project, Gelatin B, that took place a year earlier, where they built platforms out on the balcony, and it seems
that's where they got the footage from a year before, Jim,
right.
When they were saying an art students were hanging out the window, there was a helicopter filming them.
They were right in where the apparently it looked like where the hole in the building was.
Yes.
I mean, they were right there. They were right there. You know, you could see all the metals all crapped up and the people are hanging on the, you know, in crevices in the window. And it looked like people were at that window. I mean, it really did. So
it did just as a movie would make it look realistic. And that is the core of the question. Do you think you are looking at actual footage from that exact day? And the answer you have to really conclude is no, that is not footage from that day. That is some sort of fakery that they could have created any time. And they even showed you little clues about, if even that part is true, where this film crew went in a year before and started hanging out the window and videoing people hanging out the window. So they're kind of giving you the clue that they did this beforehand. and they mixed all kinds of elements of that and other fakery to simulate people jumping out. But I think the main conclusion is we're arguing over a movie. We're just arguing, how did they make the movie? And there's some people think they used miniatures. Some people think it was CGI. And if you zoom in on some of those people, they look like Sega Genesis, which was a video game.
Yeah.
Back in 2001.
Yeah.
With the block-like characters, where they're not even very smooth. Once you zoom in, they're just rectangles stuck together. So yeah, this was all a movie in whatever way they make the movie. So,
and the same goes for the Holocaust. The same goes for the Holocaust. This is what Fake Nukes Phil has kind of woken me up to. Well, I mean, I sort of was thinking along these lines, but he's applying exactly the same ruthlessly critical examination of old photographs and old films. I don't know when was video invented. I don't think video was around in World War II, but
Phil is saying, show me the bodies, show me the visual evidence.
Right.
And if you can't prove it's real, then you don't have an argument.
Right.
Let Jim answer to that.
Okay.
Well, that's an excellent question, because Phil's gotten in the hot water. First of all, he's gotten in the hot water with the 9/11. He's gotten in the hot water with Honolulu.
Hawaii. Just say Hawaii. It's easier. Maui.
So there he, you know, because people again want to believe, but he brings up a good point. Where's all the bodies?
Yeah.
All right. I mean, you have to show somebody that something happened.
Yeah.
And I do say that's why I put Phil on my show, and everybody hates him. A lot of people hate him.
Well, I don't hate him. I don't see a lot of hate in your comments, unless I'm missing all this hate. I don't really see it. He might get one or two trolls, but they're there. Some of those guys are paid to be there, I would think.
I would think so. Yeah. So I think, see, what I like about Phil, and you know, because he's got me to think about this stuff now, too, that, you know, think about what you're looking at. And if they're saying X amount of people died or this happened here or whatever,
yeah.
Well, you need more evidence than that. But someone on my BitChute channel did make a comment and said that, well, if he really wants to prove his case, then he should take somebody out of those 3,000 people that died, track them down and go find out what happened to them. And it would do a couple of people. But see, that all takes time and energy.
Yeah, Clues Forum has done that.
Actually, that's the victim report. Victim report does do that, Jim. And they show how these are very bad generated images back in the day.
Sloppily done.
You put that link to that, which was really excellent.
Yeah.
And that's really good. I like stuff like that. See, I like when people say, well, here it is. And then what are you going to say? No. I mean, there's the information. They presented it. They showed you that this person didn't exist. I mean, you know, it's see, someone brought out on my BitChute channel this. They said that, you know, they said, okay, you have 3,000 people, a little less than 3,000 people, they claim died in those buildings. All right. And so now we're saying, well, how do you know they existed? And said, well, you don't. And then I said to him, you're making a big deal about 3,000 people. Well, how about making a big deal out of 6 million Jews that disappeared? No one wants to talk about them. Where do they go? All right. They just disappeared too. Right. I mean, really? Six million folks. I mean, we're dealing with 3,000 people. Who gives a shit about 3,000? All right. But wait a minute. 6 million, and all of a sudden you're going to excuse 6 million people disappearing on the earth, and we don't have anything about them, where they went. But the explanation is they went to the gas chambers. That's the explanation, right? Nobody knows. They can't prove anything they say, but yet 6 million Jews died in the Holocaust, and you can't show me one that died in the gas chamber. You can't even show me the gas chamber. You see, that's why I like. You're dealing with something small, 9/11. Now we're dealing with something huge, the Holocaust. And they can't even prove these 6 million people even existed. And yet it's the story of the century. They talk about it every single day. Anytime you look at the, you get alerts of this or that, or looking in the news, everything's about the Holocaust.
Yeah.
Everything.
I agree.
You know, telephone, Holocaust.
The reason, Jim, the reason I like 9/11, number one, we witnessed it in real time. So it's closer to all of us. We witnessed the event in real time. We witnessed the movie in real time. And number two, they give a lot more visual evidence for us to pick apart. If we can pick apart and say, this can't be true, you're not showing us real stuff. So if one thing is false, it leads to another thing that's false. The next thing you know, it's a whole house of cards falling down. So that, to me, shows the relevance of 9/11. I know you're...
And I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
I think it's actually... I mean, there's nothing I could say I disagree. Look at... Especially that report that you brought out showing where the hell are these people?
Yeah.
I mean, that nails it down right there. I mean, if you look at that report and you don't get it, what happened there?
The victim report.
Again,
yeah.
They put on a good movie.
Yes.
You're absolutely right. What
good.
They did here. A lot of people, I'm telling you, even my friend Diana Ploss, she came to the information about the Holocaust being fake too because of 9/11.
Oh, okay. Well,
so I mean, don't believe me. I don't throw out 9/11 saying it's not relevant. I mean, but it's just not relevant to me when I talk about something bigger. But yeah, it is a stepping stone. There's no way to say it's not a stepping stone.
Yeah, one thing that
Armin says, 9/11 is the hoax that started this century, then the 21st century, and it really
true.
Was.
True.
And that's why it's easier for people our age to look at it because it's a little closer to home. And now we're seeing hoaxes in real time every day, you know.
Oh,
now it's a lot easier to spot.
That alleged shooting out in Iowa. Yeah.
Shootings and now wars, full-scale so-called wars, where we don't really see. They hardly give us any evidence. All they do is give us propaganda and they repeat it. And people don't call for evidence. They should call for evidence every single day that it's presented and say, this is not good evidence. Even the Iron Dome, you're not giving us good evidence. This looks like fireworks. Come on, do better.
That's the dogs that refuse to bark. And I want to kind of interpolate that idea based on what Phil is saying about the fact that he doesn't generally research anything before, say, the 1840s, 1850s, when the camera was invented.
Yeah.
And what he's stunned by as he goes back and does this exhaustive research is the screaming absence, the screaming silence, absence of photographic evidence surrounding things like the assassination of Abraham Lincoln, battles in the Civil War. You know, Phil's looking and saying, why aren't we seeing more photographs that would prove what they're claiming? And this is a very important point. It's the absence of what you would reasonably expect to see that is really what we should be addressing here, especially once we discover that what we are presented with turns out to be shoddy, sloppy fakery, right? The next question we should immediately ask is, where's the evidence? Well, that's the first question we should ask is, where's the evidence? And then what will happen is someone say, well, here's the evidence. And then we go through with what they're presenting and we're saying, well, look at this. This is obviously fake. Haven't you got anything better than this? And once again, it's, you know, when I think about the dogs that don't bark, I think about all those celebrities in the 9/11 truth movement that have never said a word about the role of the media and about manifest obvious TV fakery relative to those planes. I'm thinking of somebody like Craig McGee. He's been organizing 9/11. I mean, I was in a group with him in a 9/11 a teleconference on 9/11 and deep state crimes that we had for about 10 years. In a group
I don't
on Yahoo.
Jim knows Craig McGee. He's another. He's been pretty quiet lately. Yeah.
Yeah, this is somebody who, every time I would present the evidence of TV fakery to these people, they would just shut me down.
Yeah.
They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to deal with it because they don't want to confront ordinary people out there with the reality that the media is faking them out, is hoaxing them. They don't want to confront people with that. They're bodyguarding the role of the media. And, you know, Tim Osmond seems to think that the media is our number one enemy. I see it as a little more subtle than that.
Hey, let's, Lynn, I got to wrap it up a little now because I want Jim to just promote his BitChute channel now because I'm going to have to wrap up the show because we've been here about an hour. So, Jim.
Lynn, you did great. All the stuff you were saying, I agree with you. I don't disagree with you. But I do have a question for you because I don't know who you are. I never heard of you, sorry to say. A lot of people I don't know who they are.
This is the 9/11 community. It's
Okay.
Yeah, she's 9/11.
Okay, so Lynn, let me just ask you, are you kind of into a debunker of a lot of different things? Is that what your specialty is?
Well, I'm on board with the idea that virtually everything that's presented to us in media is, I'm an auto hoaxer for sure. I'm definitely an auto hoaxer. And in addition, I'm a fakeologist. I'm an auto hoaxer in the sense that based on my experience empirically, I assume that it's fake in one way or another. I'm a fakeologist in the sense that I'm willing to pursue that avenue and deconstruct it and show how it's fake. I have a really important point to make before we wrap up. Because this is why I wanted to have Jim on.
Okay.
I see our approach to deconstructing the Holocaust myth as of key strategic importance to us as fakeologists. Because I'm very ambitious. I want to bring on board all those people that are already understanding that the Holocaust is a fake story. There are a lot of them out there. And as far as I'm concerned, they ought to be with us. You know, they ought to be fakeologists, just like us. Now, the difficulty we run into there is obviously the Jew card, the J question. That's what makes it tricky and difficult. But I don't care what somebody's ideology is. I mean, if they want to be called white nationalist or pan-European, that's irrelevant to me. Our fakeology is solid. Our research is solid. And anybody out there who is already taking apart the whole hoax should be in our camp. And so what I'm interested in doing is figuring out strategically how we move these people into our army. Does that sound unprincipled or opportunist?
Oh no, I think I'm glad I met you, okay? Because I, like I said, I didn't know who you were, but you're absolutely right. And you know what bothers me about all this? Like, let's just take all the bullshit they've been hitting us with, you know, 9/11, all the shootings, you go down the USS Liberty and all the bullshit, all right? These people that want you to get on track with them and be with them on their topic, they will not jump onto the Holocaust topic. Right?
It's a third rail. It's definitely a third rail.
And in some countries it's illegal, right? or it's in an area that nobody knows what's legal and what's not. They're weaponizing history by saying if you talk about it, we can do bad things too. That's the main problem. And it hasn't happened in the US yet, but it sure is, it's spreading like crazy all around the world, don't you think, Jim?
Oh yeah, it's getting there. But I think again, I think you guys, this fakeologist thing that I just got, you know, turned into, you know, people in your group, I think it's great because I knew nothing about you guys. And now I can say, whoa, you want to get into some people that really see it for what it is. Well, that's good. I it's amazing that you don't have more people seeing what you're doing. That's why I put you on I put the links to the video when we do.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you guys are really onto stuff more so than anybody I've seen. So I got to give you credit, and I applaud you.
Thank you, Jim.
For what you're doing. No, really, I'm really psyched to see what you guys are doing because you know a lot of people don't get it. They just don't get it, and you guys get it. About time I meet people that get it.
Well, Lynn gets it. Lynn's been
I don't like the term
for a long time.
Yeah, well,
I don't like the term. I've never liked the term revisionist history. I think it's pejorative. It's just history. But I would say this. We ought to be the premier place that people come to for revisionist history because we're the best at it, I think.
Well, I think so, too. You guys are right on the ball. So I'm going to do the best to, you know, get more people to see you and, you know, we'll go from there, you know.
Well, it sounds good, Jim. Well, I'm glad you got into 9/11 because we were kind of not talking about it because once you say a few things, what else is there to say? So when someone new gets into it, it is fun to watch, see how they go down the same trails we did. And we try and say, well, maybe you should come out of that one and try another avenue. And I think you're proof you can teach an old dog new tricks, which is good. So,
yeah, no, Jim, are you familiar with Carolyn Yeager?
No.
She's on RBN, I think.
Okay.
Carolyn Yeager.
Oh, Carolyn Yeager.
Yeah.
Is that Yeah. I've talked to Carolyn Yeager. She's interviewed me. I've talked to her. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, she should be helping us. You know, that's all I'm saying.
What's up with her? I mean, she. You know, I had discussion with her years ago, and I've never heard from her again.
Well, maybe it's time to touch base again, and maybe we should bring her on and interview her and see what she has to say and what she thinks of the work that we're doing.
Well, I mean, you guys are presenting great information, but she just kind of fell by the wayside. And I just don't know what happens to these people. They just fall away. I don't know.
Yeah, people come and they go, and they mostly go. They're here for a while. They look at, I like what you do, Jim, because it's similar to what we do. You're all over. You talk all about different topics where I know you have your focus. We have our 9/11 focus. But you are bringing up new topics and bringing more people into the tent because people come at this from all angles. It's one thing that makes them interested, and next thing you know, they're looking at all the topics. But it's always
my vision.
Yeah.
My vision.
Right.
My vision is you got all the revisionist history people out there, the so-called Holocaust deniers, and even the white nationalists talking about the Apollo moon hoax. They should be calling out the space program and NASA as a hoax.
Yeah, that's one thing I don't see. Do you do that on your channel, Jim? Have you done NASA? Because that's a natural.
No, I haven't really gotten into that and the moon landing, but I do believe it's all bullshit. Oh, no doubt about that. Yeah.
That's a huge topic. There's so much material out there. It's massive. It's ongoing. It's still going on.
Yeah.
The space station, the fake station, we call it. That one never ends.
I just put up a video on my BitChute channel about cable or satellite.
Yes.
People think that they think their phone system works by satellite. It doesn't. It works by end ground cable.
Right. That's right. We've talked about that.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, 98% of your phone calling and all that type of stuff is all done through underground cable. But they think it's all being beamed up to a satellite and this and that. No.
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing. I don't know how you guys feel about that. Maybe we could talk about that another time because I don't really know a lot about this so-called satellite.
Well,
that ties into
NASA because NASA and only a couple companies, so-called, can deliver these satellites into space. So you have a very few people that deal with it, mainly NASA. Now they say it's private companies since they say NASA is not doing the rockets anymore. They're contracting it out. But yeah, for sure, there's no doubt that it is a simulated. I call it simulated satellite because they say it bounces up to the sky, but they don't explain anything about power supply, what happens. I mean, just think about it. A cell phone signal only travels a couple miles, and once you're past a couple miles, back in the old days, before when there wasn't as many towers, you'd lose the signal. I used to drive around in the 80s with the old analog cell phone, and you get out of sight of the tower, and all of a sudden you lose the line. Now, of course, they have millions of towers. They're everywhere, so it's much harder to lose a line. But how would that go up 17,000 miles into space? What kind of power would melt your head off the power it would require to get up to a satellite. Let's be reasonable here. Think about it. What kind of power would that need? It would need the power of a whole house full of batteries. It's crazy what they make you try and believe.
Well, right? We saw President Nixon on the phone in the White House in the Oval Office talking to Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin.
Yeah. 220,000 miles. And once in the conversation, he answered too quickly because they said it took 3 or 4 seconds for the signal to get down. But he answered too quickly on one of the conversations. And I don't know. I think he realized it after because, hey, it's supposed to be delayed, buddy. And you just answered too fast. So, you know, these guys, they're pulling a lie. They know it. Every now and then they make mistakes and then people just ignore it. They just can't stand. They can't deal with the issues that expose it. So,
right.
Anyway. All right, Jim. Well, I appreciate you coming on. I just thought Lynn had more to offer with Jim, Judy Wood there. And
I enjoyed being on with her, and I, you know, maybe another time we could talk about the satellite thing.
that's interesting. Fake. Yeah. If you start looking into NASA, you'll be lost in all the videos. There's so much out there, and that's a $1 billion. What is it? $50 billion a year scam. I mean, there's so many scams going on.
Yeah.
So we should be featuring some of Jim's videos in FakoTube now, right?
I do grab a lot of Jim's stuff off his channel. Actually, Jim puts 3 or 4 videos a day up, and he does quite a few talk shows all the time. So he does his walk and talk with the Cal Report every single day, him and Diane. So he does talk about his videos, and if you hear something interesting, then you can go look at it. But yeah. Jim does a lot of content. This is your full-time job, I guess, really.
Yeah, this is what I do, you know. Actually, it's all day because I'm always looking for stuff to put up, interesting discussion, whatever. And I get it up when I can get it up, you know.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
Fun. I'm retired. What do you think? I got to do something.
Yeah. All right, Jim. Well, thanks for joining in, and we'll talk to you next time.
Okay. Thank you, Lynn. Thank you for being on.
Yeah, take care, Jim. We'll be talking again.
All right. Yeah, bye now.
All right. There goes Jim Rizzoli, and there goes us. This is the Lynn Artel Show, where we bring Lynn on every week. Lynn got her screen shared. It took 20 minutes. If you don't want to listen to the technical talk, you have to skip the first 30 minutes of today's podcast. The video does not include the tech talk at the beginning. Lynn likes to get mad at her computer because it doesn't do always what you want it to do. But Lynn, you remember what you did today, so we're not going to go through this again, right? You know all the buttons. You figured it out.
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
So that's Lynn's screen we're sharing there now with the Hollow Towers.
Hollow Towers. That's a great image. Everybody will see that.
You think it's a real image or Photoshop?
You have to ask Phil Jahan and Larry McWilliams where they got that from.
Yeah, I don't know, actually.
I'll tell you when it was taken. It was taken right after the completion of the buildings themselves.
So it looks like there's a few floors near the top.
Right.
And a bunch of floors near the bottom, but there's just a whole middle section, just empty.
It's from the 70s, I think. So it might be.
Yeah.
Someone will say, "Well, it's out of date."
Well, no, they could say that it was in 71 and the towers opened in 73. They weren't finished.
Right.
The interiors. They could say that. There's a bit, but it's still fun that we have at least a picture that represents our beliefs that
that concept of a Potemkin village. That's what Sandy Hook was. They created a Potemkin village right there in Newtown and called it, you know, and it became the Sandy Hook Hoax. And that's what I view the towers as, a sort of very impressive giant Potemkin village, a front, a Hollywood facade.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thanks for joining again, and sorry for all the technical issues. We every day we have a technical issue. Thanks for everyone who joined in the FakoTube chat. I think FakoTube worked tonight. That's a good change. And YouTube works, of course. The audio stream, fake11.com/stream1, that works. So we had some good participation tonight. Wednesday, tomorrow is Fake Nukes Phil. That's his regular appearance, so I'm sure he'll have something to say. Don't forget, I brought back the Chatango. Nobody seems to use Chatango anymore. Fakeologist.chattango.com if you want to make a chat. Otherwise, just go to a blog, fakeologist.blog, and you can leave any messages over there regarding this show. And thanks, everyone, for joining in. And Lynn, thanks a lot, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
And we'll all be tuning in tomorrow night to hear Fake Nukesville.
All right, and if you have any questions, you can always just jump back in the studio as well. You got the link, so you as a regular, you can just sneak into the studio. Everyone actually can come in the studio to ask a question as well. And if you do come in the studio, make sure you have a question, though. Otherwise, I think if you want to listen in, just listen in to the other venues. Otherwise, the studio's for people with questions. All right, everybody. We will talk to you next time. Thanks, Lynn. And take care, everybody.